I'm sorry, it's not Genesis. It is 1 Samuel. I'm glad somebody was paying attention. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And beginning with verse number 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to King Achish of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s'?" Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and his saliva fell down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want you, before you take your seats, look at somebody and just say to them, "This is not the time to lose it. This is not the time to lose it." Look at somebody else, tell them, "This is not the time to lose it." Amen. You may be seated. Father, thank you again for your kindness and grace. Thank you for bringing us into this house of worship and this time of reflection on who you are and the greatness of God. And Lord, even though we are reflecting on the life of David and the things that he had to face, the difficulties, the struggles, we all have lost it. We've all been at a place where we acted out of character. And Lord, we did not reflect who you were and what you were doing in our lives. But I'm so grateful that David is not known by this passage, but he's known as the greatest king of Israel's history. And Lord, as one that you said you would bless, out of his lineage would come an eternal king. And that has happened. He is Christ our Lord, and we give you praise for that. But now, Lord, use this passage to speak to our heart and help us to learn the things that we need to know, that we might do the things that we ought to do. I pray this in Jesus' strong and awesome name and for his glory. Amen. You know, if you've read your Bible, you've probably read about David as the one who wrote the 23rd Psalm. You've read about him facing Goliath. You've read about him doing amazing things and leading Israel to a state of prominence. You probably skipped over this passage because it doesn't say a lot, only about 5 or 6 verses, and yet it speaks of what can happen if you're not constantly leaning and depending on God to direct your life. Make a long story short, you lose it, and so do I. You do things that you should not do. You say things that you should not say. You believe things that are simply not true. God made you in his image. God created you for fellowship with him. And regardless of anything that is going on in your life, you can depend on God to bring you through. Amen. Do I have any witnesses? Amen. And as we look at this, I don't want us to sit in judgment of David, but I want to ask the question to all of us, how many of us have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, around the wrong people, and doing the wrong thing? All of us are there.
And you might say that in that state of existence, in that state, we kind of lost it. But here's the good news. David learned from this. And while you're reading in the book of Psalms and you read about some of the things that happened to David, how that he was being chased by his enemies, he was being harassed, his life was on the line, you will come across Psalm 34. And Psalm 34 is a response to what happened in this passage. Psalm 34 was written because this happened. Some of your greatest opportunities to learn about God are the times, can I say this? When you acted your worst, when you just were plain stupid. When you were flat out of your mind. And yet you learned about God and His greatness. While it said in this passage that when David heard these things, he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane, scratched on the doors of the gates, and saliva ran down on his beard. Yet in Psalm 34, he must have had a talk with God because he learned from that, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't it wonderful to know that even in times where you've lost it and I've lost it, that we can go to God and say, Lord, you know, I just didn't do right. By the way, that's called repentance, when you recognize that you have done wrong and you want to turn around. Is that what you call it? Amen. So you can repent. You can go to God and you can say, Lord, I did this. I acknowledge my sin. And in our study, we're also going to be looking at Psalm 51, where David takes us through the confessional. A lot of people look at confessing as saying, I'm a bad person. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge what you've done, that God might show you His mercy and His kindness. Confession always leads you to discovering the goodness of God and receiving the mercy of God. That's what confession does. But a couple of things I want you to take note of. Number one, where is David? Where is David? But then when you're trying to find out where is David, ask yourself, where am I? Where am I in my life? Where am I in my walk of faith? Where am I? David was in a town called Gath. If you want to know where it's located, it's over in the land of the Philistines next door. Not in Israel, not in Judah, where he was raised, but over in Gath. Now, to help you out, give you a little bit more information, Gath is the hometown of this guy by the name of Goliath. Sound familiar? So now, David at this time has killed Goliath. You know, little guy, trusted God. Kill Goliath, and now he's in Goliath's hometown, thinking nobody would recognize him, thinking nobody would spot him. But how are you going to walk into somebody's hometown and you got the sword of the guy that you killed on your side? So immediately, people picked up on it. Immediately, they said, isn't that David? Notice they didn't say the one who's running away, the one who's going to mess up in his life. They said, isn't this David, the king of the land? Now, pause for a minute. When you're out of place and you think no one else knows you, other people will call you out. You try to put on that shield of incognito. And you try to pretend, okay, nobody's going to know me because I'm wearing dark glasses and a hat pulled down over my head. And people will, isn't that Reverend Coleman, Crossroad? He's in the wrong place. God needs to remind him where he is. Every time God speaks to you, he reminds you of where you are. But I'm so glad God doesn't condemn you. He simply says, come on back. You know, I was hoping I'd get a little bit further down the sermon before I took a praise break, but I'm so glad God will speak to you when you're lost. Can we just take a little bit of a praise break and thank God that when we were lost, God had a lost and found. When we didn't know our way, God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because God saves the lost, you don't have to worry about losing it. Now, second thing about it, not only do they recognize where he is, but they also recognize, Brother Joe, they recognize who he is.
All right.
This is the king of the land. This is not just your average person. As a matter of fact, they had a song on the top 20 in Israel, and it's called Saul Killed His Thousands, and David Killed His 10,000s. Isn't it something how people not only know you, but they know what you're capable of? And here you are recognizing that you have lost it or getting ready to lose it, and you don't even recognize what you're capable of. Can I take another praise break? Don't you know who made you? Don't you know that God didn't bring you this far to leave you now? So if you're in a place where you ought not to be, and you don't recognize who you are, but God does, it's time to start confessing. But David doesn't know that yet. He's still a young man. All right, we're going to give him a break, and I'm going to give you a break, and I'm going to give myself a break. Amen. Because sometimes our ignorance creeps in before God, amen, before we allow God to use us. Sometimes your ignorance and your stupidity, amen, you might as well call it like it is, because what we're trying to do is to bring ourselves to a place where God can instruct us. Now, I don't know when God spoke to David and said, David, I don't ever want you to act like that again. I don't know when he said that. I don't know when God spoke to you. I know when he spoke to me and said to me, I don't ever want you to act like that again, because you belong to me. Here's some things about confession that we're going to be bringing out and hopefully reminding you of who you are. Four things I want you to write down. By the way, we don't have the screens up. I guess we could have had it, but they're operating from the back and not up here. But anyway, we're okay. Look at somebody and say, we're okay. We're all right. We're all right. First thing, confession prevents. Confession prevents. We put something out on Facebook the other day, about a three-minute snippet of what we were talking about. Confession prevents us from what, preacher? It prevents us from yielding to the negative things. You can have negativity all around you.
All right.
My mama used to put it this way. You can act a fool any day, but it takes somebody to act with some sense. So confession keeps us, prevents us from responding to the negative things around you. How many of you all living or working on a job where everybody's positive? Okay. All right. How many of you all go through your week and nothing bad happens? Okay. No takers, huh? How many of us are living in a messed up world? It would be easy just to go along with everything. And if you think we're having problems here in the United States, try living in some of the other countries.
That's right.
Little children waking up to the sound of bombs, not alarm clocks.
That's right.
Can't go to school. So when you start complaining about how bad America is, you think about some of the other countries. Look at somebody and say, it's tough all over. I'm telling you, it is. Yeah, let me stay here. Let me just live here in Virginia, amen? Let me just try to do my best, Ms. Cavill. I want to try to do what I can, amen, to move forward in my faith. Confession will prevent you from yielding to the negative things. Hurry up and write these down, because I'm going to move on with that first one. Confession prepares us for opportunities. God's got all these wonderful opportunities that's called the plan for your life. So it's going to prepare you for it. When you confess, you're preparing for God's opportunities. Thirdly, confession produces the first fruits of a future harvest. Now, I know I messed with you on that one, but Rod, let me help you out. Growing up on a farm, we had this thing called a plant bed. Now, the plant bed was not the place where the harvest was going to grow. It was just the starter. Yeah, Miss Calvin, you know about that. All right, if you want to plant some cabbage out, Carolyn, if you can plant them in the spring, you first get them in the plant bed, and you have what's called slips. All right? Y'all city folk with me yet? Okay. So, and then when you got ready to put them in the field for the harvest, you would plant them in the field, but you had to put them in the plant bed first. Uh-huh. So what God will do, he will give you this thing called confession. That's your plant bed, because sometimes you know that something is in you. You can't explain it. You really can't put your finger on it because it's not the harvest yet. You don't see it yet. But it's in the plant bed of your soul. Somebody say, way down in your sanctified soul, you know God is going to do something. So you start saying things like, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength. You're in the plant bed right now. But when you start manifesting that, when you start bringing that out, that's when you stand up and face a Goliath and say, I ain't scared of you.
All right.
Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? So confession will take you there. It will allow you to talk about God, because confession is not you coming up with stuff in your mind. It's saying back to God what God has said to you. Let me just help y'all out on this. You would have never learned to talk unless your parent had talked to you and say, hey, baby, say papa, say mama, right? So what God is doing, he's teaching you how to say stuff, say things that's going to help you overcome the things that's in your way. Because on your way to your next opportunity, trouble going to come in your path.
Amen. Amen.
Folks going to get in your way that you thought would I never thought. But touch somebody and say, now's not the time to act crazy. Now is not the time to lose it. David had an anointing on his life, but he wasn't walking in that. I got to run on it. I got to finish up my message here. But the fourth thing, if you've been counting, I told you four, and I'm gonna give you four. Amen. Confession praises God for including you in his plan. And we'll deal with that later. But here is David in a negative environment, in a place where he ought not to be. And yet he's there. Now, I don't know who I'm talking with, but there might be somebody in this audience in a place where you know you ought not to be. I ought not to be thinking like this. I ought not to be having these thoughts in my mind. And yet you find yourself there. How do you get out of that? Confession. Confession. Saying things to God and about God. I guarantee you, if David had struck up a praise right there on the spot, it would have looked a whole lot better than him scrabbling on the wall. Now, how do I know this? Because on down the line, some generations later, the seed of David, the son of David, people put him on the spot, Joe. They started saying to him, matter of fact, they tried to trap him. They brought a woman caught in adultery. They said, we're going to trap him. Jesus didn't write on the gate. He wrote on the ground.
Amen.
He didn't scrabble. He didn't do all of these things. He wrote on the ground. And when he got up, he said, you who are without sin, throw the first stone. Talk about negativity. He faced it. He had people hunting him down, just like his ancestor did, just like what happened in day. But you know what Jesus said when he began to face the people of his day? He said, now before David was, I am. Can I get a witness here? In other words, he was God. And I'm telling you, there's enough of God in you to help you say what you ought to say and do what you ought to do. Now is not the time to lose it. Now is not the time. Let me hurry up and give you a couple of things before I close here. Amen. Look at somebody and say, confession is good. First of all, it's better than confusion. It's a whole lot better than confusion. I don't care if all the folks around you talking crazy. Don't you? Oh, can I go there? Mama used to tell us a whole lot of time. If somebody else jump off a bridge, would you jump? And a lot of us think about it. Well, I don't know. Come on now. Confession is better than confusion. Why? Because it begins to arrange your mind. Now, here it was, David giving in to his fears. Notice what happened. The Bible said that when they started saying all these things, and it should have triggered something in him. It should have stirred up the anointing in him. They're saying, I'm a king. They're saying, I'm anointed. But I'm not acting anointed because I'm acting on my fear and my trust in, and rather than me acting on my faith in God, I'm acting out of my fear. And a lot of people are there.
Amen.
I've been there. Make your worst mistakes when you're afraid. But later on, it would say, in times when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Amen. Confession is better than confusion. Second thing, confession recognizes God's power. Not your power, not your ability. I want to tell you something. It's good to go to school, good to get an education, but there are things that you will face in life that your degree didn't prepare you for. Your certificate did not tell you it's coming, but your God will take you there. Am I right? Your God will help you to endure the hardships of this life. A couple of verses I want to give you here. One is 2 Timothy 1 and 7, notice it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Every time you act on the spirit of fear, as a matter of fact, there are a couple of things I said, they all respond to the same way in bringing your life down. Number one is fear. The other is intoxication. Another is greed. And another is anger. What fear does, it inflates what you dread. It makes it bigger, right? It's things that you're afraid of, just like, you know, the boogeyman comes out at night. I've never met the boogeyman, though. Amen? So fear will always inflate the things that you are afraid of or that you dread. Intoxication will invite you to be a partaker of the things that you should be afraid of. You can do it now. Yeah, you can walk on that bridge. Don't worry about it if you fall over. You. No, maybe it's me. Okay. All right, let me keep my hand there. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, he kept me in my stupid days. Amen. I can beat that transfer to the light. We didn't have lights in the country at a stop sign. Y'all say, man, this has been a crazy preacher, but I'm glad that that moment didn't define who I am, who I was, and what God had planned for my life. Intoxication will always invite you to the things that you should respect. It'll invite you to go a little bit further. Greed will entice you to the things that don't belong to you. And anger will cause you to lose what you should be holding on to. David was afraid. And I close with this because David did not stay there. Somewhere in his prayer life, somewhere God spoke to him and said, David, listen, when you're in a time like that, begin to praise. Begin to thank me because I will never leave you nor forsake you. And for that reason, David wrote Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. And he's not just talking about bless the Lord. He's saying, I cried and the Lord heard me and delivered me from all my fears. But then he also saw God moving in the lives of other people. He said, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. Here's the point I want to make. If the Lord had allowed David to slay the baddest man in all of Gath, and the same anointing was still on David, don't you think that regardless of who rose up against him, David could have conquered that entire city? But he was giving in to something, and he lost it. Whenever you give in, whenever you say, I can't do this, whenever you start saying to yourself, I'm just going to give up, you're really denying God that opportunity that he wants to bring you to a place where you've never been. It's called a faith crisis. Whenever your faith gets so tested to where you're about to give up, that's when God says, wait a minute, I'm going to take you a little bit further. And even though you lose it all, you'll gain your strength in God. I will bless the Lord at all times. That's why I want you to land right now. Rather than me saying what's bad, what's not working, they shouldn't have done this, that shouldn't have happened, I don't deserve it, I don't want you talking like that. I want you to change that and start saying to yourself, I will bless the Lord at all times. And I'm not going to lose it this time. The devil has pushed me to that point. I'm not going to lose it this time. I'm going to square my shoulders, put a smile on my face, even though I feel like crying. And I'm going to say, the Lord brought me this far, and he's going to lead me on. How many of you are willing to make that confession today? That Christ is Lord. He's never going to fail. God is an awesome God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, for just including us. Help us learn the power of confession. That, Lord, we don't have to lose it as we go through life. We can keep our poise. We can keep our stamina, Lord, because you are the living God. And you're the one who operates in our lives. So help us, Holy Spirit, to always do the things that you've commanded, that we might serve you. I pray for the person that maybe is under conviction right now. They recognize that this sermon has called us out. As a matter of fact, it's called all of us out. Because, Lord, we know what we fail. We know what we've done wrong even on last week. And God, we're saying within our hearts, Lord, we don't want to do that again. Help us to confess our hope and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do these things for us, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to extend the invitation. If there be one today, we ask that you come. We ask all that we stand. Let us stand.